Ongoing investigations into the George Washington Bridge scandal may be slowed by key aides to Governor Chris Christie invoking their Fifth Amendment rights. Not remaining silent on the matter is reporter Karen Sudol, whose analysis appeared in last week's Bergen Record. Karen, thanks for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dave.
To review, of course, the suspicions are that bridge lanes were shut down as political punishment aimed at Fort Lee's Democratic mayor for not endorsing Republican Chris Christie's reelection. First off, review what forms of evidence investigators are looking for via subpoena to further that end.
Basically, they're looking at right now where a legislative committee has come together and issued subpoenas. At first, it was about 20 subpoenas, and then now there have been an additional 18 new or amended subpoenas requesting documents. And the documents would be anything related to the lane closures that the committee is investigating. So they're sort of leaving it up to, you know, the people who they have issued subpoenas to determine what's going to be turned over. They've kind of left it up in the open. Any texts, emails, notes, diaries related to those lane closures back in September.
The three key figures to date are Christie's former campaign manager, Bill Stepien, David Wildstein, former Port Authority executive, and former deputy chief of staff, Bridget Kelly. Are they all invoking Fifth Amendment rights?
Yes, they all are. The key difference is that David Wildstein exercises Fifth Amendment rights when it comes to testifying before the legislative committee. He's already released documents and through his attorney said that he'll also provide the committee with additional documents. He just needs more time to do so. The difference with Bridget Ann Kelly and Bill Stepien is that their attorneys have asserted their Fifth Amendment rights by refusing to turn over documents. In other words, they've only been asked for documents. They haven't been asked to testify.
Of course, the Fifth Amendment broadly holds that no person shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, though it's fairly nuanced, the grounds on which these people are hoping to avoid turning over documents.
So when most Americans, hear the Fifth Amendment, I think they automatically think about, like, fictional courtroom dramas and I plead the Fifth. They don't typically think of documents, but it's not that unusual for people to assert their rights, you know, against self-incrimination by refusing to turn over documents. But basically, when I spoke with legal scholars, what they said is that most of the time, the documents aren't generally protected by the Fifth Amendment, but there is this exception that if the act of producing them constitutes testimony. The mere act of having to look them over and find them constitutes testimony. So their lawyers are basically arguing that when their clients have to make use of the contents of their own minds in identifying the documents, that that's a form of testimony.
Put the subpoenas in a larger context. Is it part of an overall effort to exact pressure that might lead to a plea bargain?
It could be. But when I was speaking to the legal scholars, basically what they said, too, is that the committee, if it has the power, could offer something called production immunity, where they turn over the documents, and if it did go to, like, a jury or something, the jury would never learn that they were the ones who provided the documents. You know, the government would be able to use those and review those documents, but it would never be learned that the source of where they came from.
Give us a timeline. What's apt to happen next in the coming week?
Sure. Well, the legislative committee met last week, and they basically decided that the arguments that Stepien and Kelly's lawyers made were invalid, and that they expect them to comply with the subpoena request. So the legislative committee's attorney is going to basically set a date of when they'll be expected to comply. If they don't, that could mean going to court to enforce it and possibly, you know, holding them in contempt.
Karen, thanks for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Karen Sudol is a reporter with the Bergen Record.